Listen to these words again. And in the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." In other words, the baby in the manger is the way by which men will find the pleasure of God bestowed upon them. Sinners, irreligious, rebels, or religiously self-righteous, it won't matter. There is a way for men now and women now, for the human race now, to find and know and experience the pleasure of God upon their lives. The angel, Gabriel, the archangel, and the hosts of heaven, that angelic choir, they ought to know. They ought to know that there is a way now being made for men to find the pleasure of God, because the baby lying in the manger is their commander, is their creator. When Christ, the mighty maker, died for man, the creature's sin. Not just a baby, but God, who emptied himself of all of those divine attributes. Paul describes this in Philippians chapter 2. And he, God, took upon himself the form of a man, the form of a baby. And the man grew into a young man, and the young man into a young adult. And the young adult, without sin, laid down his life as he died on the cross for man, the creature's sin. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's debate over the timing of Christmas, whether it was in the early fall, whether it was another time of the year. There is debate over the particulars of when the birth of Jesus might have taken place. But folks, let there be no debate over whether or whether not we should celebrate the birth of Jesus. Because if there had been no birth of the Savior, then there would be no salvation, no forgiveness, no rescue that could only have been accomplished by the death of that baby who grew up to a man who would die on the cross. You cannot separate the cradle from the cross. So how do we respond today? How do we respond to the words and the sounds and the sights of this amazing moment? How do we respond? If you've never opened up your heart, and nobody can do this for you, you can't marry yourself into a new life, a new birth. You can't be naturally born into having Christ in your heart. No one can say, I've always been a Christian. You would be the only exception to this book, and there are none. The scripture says there is none righteous, no, not one. Therefore, all of us need a Savior, someone to rescue us from the penalty of our sins. If you've never opened your heart up to Jesus, this is the best day for you to do that. It isn't about joining a church or primarily getting yourself dumped in water or having your name on a roster. It's about you making a choice as best you can to receive Jesus. Yes, Jesus, I receive you as my Savior. The angel said there's been born to you this day in the city of David a Savior. Anybody in this room not need, in some part of your life, rescue, saving? Ultimately, it's our sins and Jesus' death on the cross for our sins. But folks, it's way more than that. It's his power, because he's not still on a cross. He's not still dead and in a tomb. He's alive. That's Easter. And his power to rescue us from the inside out, to put a new want to inside my chest and inside my brain, so that the things that I thought I couldn't live without doing, or that I kept wanting to do, that kept getting me in trouble, taking me to wrong places, death instead of life coming to me, he has the power to change what you want to do into a whole new set of want to's, so that instead of not wanting to have any way but my own way, he can do the work inside us to where we want what our Father wants for us. So that we want to, from the inside out, to do what pleases him. That angel said that day, that night, there is born for you, shepherds, for you, humans, a rescuer. Somebody who can reach down and take hold of you in the middle of your mess, or in the middle of your bondage, in the middle of your war or confusion. He can take you out of it. He can rescue you. What's his name? Jesus. Jesus is his name. Not Baptist, not Catholic, not Pentecostal. Fill in your blank. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Do you know him? If you don't, he says, behold, I stand at the door of a heart and knock. If anybody will hear my voice to their heart and open the door, I will come in. If that hadn't happened to you, right where you sit, before you leave this room, you can do that. Lord, I open the door of my heart to you. Whatever this means, Jesus, I don't know what all this means, but what I know is I need you. Would you come into my life? Yes, Lord. Be my Savior. Yes, Lord, be my Savior. This week is Christmas week. Friday is Christmas. Thursday evening, in this room, 5 o'clock, we'll start sharply at 5, so don't come in on San Antonio time and expect to get in for all of it, crisply at 5, and we will be dismissing at or before 6 o'clock, 1 hour. You say, Pastor, you've never done that in all your life. How's that going to start now? What I'm saying to you is we will dismiss. We'll say you can leave at 6. But if some of you want to stay, the tables will be available back in the back for the Lord's Supper. For you, if you'd wish to do that, as celebrating and honoring and the birth of the Savior, that can be a part of what you do Friday afternoon or Thursday evening. And then on Sunday, we will only have one service. It'll be this service at 11 o'clock. But about 9:30 or so in the fellowship hall, we'll be enjoying some breakfast tacos together. It's one of my favorite Sundays of the week. And everybody teams up and brings things, and it's good. It's a good time. Kids will all be with us. It'll be a family worship Sunday next Sunday. There is born for you this day in the city of David a rescuer, a deliverer, one who is mighty to save. And his name is Jesus. I want to ask our prayer partners, to those of you who are here, to come and just make your take your places across the front. The reason for that is because there may be some of you who just need somebody to pray with you as you start this week, to pray for you, to pray with you. We don't ask a lot of questions, but we just enough to know how to pray, what the category would be, what the need is. I know that often at this season of the year, it's sad things, tough things that are already going on in your life seem to be exponentially worse or heavier at this time. As everybody's talking about cheer and goodwill and joy and smiles, and there's somebody sick in your family or you're having a need, that it can seem that the contrast makes it even more difficult. The sadness or the heaviness, the sorrow in your life contrasted with what it seems like it ought to be. Folks, listen, there is the healer of the broken heart, and his name is Jesus. There is the one who is able to come alongside us and help us. There is one who is able to grant grace for the seasons of sadness and hard times in this life that only he can give. And it doesn't mean that all of a sudden everything immediately gets worked out in the natural, but what it can mean is that he can come to bring his buoyancy, his lift to your spirit and to your heart, so that there is the ability to still rejoice in him and be thankful for him, even though it may be a very difficult time in your life. He is the way. He is the one who makes the way to take us through. And we're just passing through. Sorrow is not the eternal home for the child of God. It's a passing season, though it may seem as if it lasts a long time and we can't see the end of it. But it's not our eternal home. Would you let us pray with you? If there's something like that going on in your life, that we could just pray with you as you step into this week, we would be glad to do that. Would you stand with me, please, as we prepare to leave and embark upon a full and busy week for many. Thank you for being in this house this morning. Thank you for lifting up your voice, linking your heart and your spirit with the worship of the Savior. We're joining in the songs that the angels sang, and our hearts celebrating His goodness to us, His mercy toward us. Look forward to seeing you Christmas Eve, 5 o'clock, as you are able to come. Wish you'd bring folks with you, and we try to set it at that time so that we have plenty of time to get back for our family gatherings and the evening meal, if you wish. We'll hear some more about Jesus, and we'll worship Him together some more. Would you take the hand of whoever that is standing next to you? If you had a fuss and a fight with whoever that was you're holding the hand of, this is just a good start to just go ahead and make it nice, make it right. Would you step across the aisles? Could you do that? Just kind of move across the aisles. Good. Good. There's some pretty nice people that sit across the aisle from you that you may have never even gotten to know. Lord Jesus, we love you. We bless you for being in this house this morning. I want you to pray with your eyes open. I've got my eyes open. It may be something brand new. You better keep your eyes open when you're doing this. It doesn't mean that it's any lack of reverence. When I look up there and saw that lynx in the snow and the elk chewing on the leaves, and you see those mountains and you see those galaxies, with our eyes wide open, to just be able to say, Lord, we love you and we praise you. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for the people you've brought into our lives who some way or another express your love for us. How cold and cruel this world would be without anybody whose voice we could hear to say, I love you, I missed you, I prayed for you. Lord, thank you that even those words are your words to our hearts. Thank you for the gifts from so many different levels, enriching our souls and blessing our lives. And the best we can, Lord, with all that we have to give, we say thank you, and we praise you, and we love you, and we want our lives to honor you. Will you take and bless and multiply the financial offerings that we bring to you, the tithes and the offerings that we bring to you? Would you take and multiply the gifts that you've given to us as we desire to serve you and serve our fellow man? Lord, bless us as we seek to be a blessing on this planet for your name's sake, for your honor, for your glory. And this we pray, in the name of our Savior. Would you speak His name with me? The name of Jesus. This we pray in the name of our Savior, Jesus. And all of the Lord's people in this room said, Amen. Amen.